for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. Let us chit-chat today about lovely, self-empowered women, men, and theys. We do not have trust issues when men betray or discard or ghost. We know it's a sign that they don't know love. And that's because when you do know self-love, it's because you know of healthy self-worth. You know how to be empowered, and your inner child, therefore, is out to play. So you have integration of the brain, or at the very least, you have emotional awareness, accountability, and the awareness of I can self-regulate. So reflective practices, they all will do this thing called bring up emotions from your body. Now, if you have any trauma, that's why you get a good therapist, so that you can work with the window of tolerance. We do personal development seriously, and being yourself is straightforward as it gets. Thanks to Attachment Trauma Educational Courses, this 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, aka your woo-woo pseudoscience podcast host, is going to keep on doing this so that you can understand 5D mysticism. We take it seriously, but we take sciences seriously. Sciences and spirituality, one and in the same, but sciences dispels the myths of spirituality. And that's not the true spirituality, people. It dispels the myths of the 4D spiritual human beings who are on Elsa's journey, like the Venuses of Goddesses of May, who let you know that self-love is a myth and bullshit, and basically they look like they're little prances around of princesses, and seriously, every time I see them, I'm like, oh, okay, come on in, let's leave it alone, because there are those people who are love-dependent, and they're part of a herd, and they need that princess over there to make them feel special. So we know when we see those who need another person to tell them how to live life. So lost boys, lost girls, they all go there in lost days to the Peter Pans, who also get their information from Wendy's. So the ones over here, we're pachas. We see right through that bullshit and we're like, wow, they believe that yoga brings demons out of you. Or wait, they believe that you don't need to love yourself first to love others. Oh wait, they don't even know what they're talking about because they don't let that poor inner child come out and play yet. They think of them knowing everything and they haven't healed everything yet. Well, we're going to leave them alone because, you know, their subjective experience is very clear, as they also share with us their physiological response and behavioral response through their messages, okay, through their words. So when people like to use words in ways that show me that they're still limited, I know that they are supporting those who are limited consciousness. Over here, we have infinite higher human consciousness potential experiences. And that's why we don't have this thing called, oh my gosh, they betrayed me. I have now no more trust for any man out there. No, we do know, though, what a person, as they begin to unfold, can share with us about our experiences. Okay, so on that note, we all will have things take place. We all have different age groups. And the charges are those of yours and ours and mine. Very basic. We all have child parts. And your 16-year-old is either leading the way or not. And for IHP, no, you don't want the 16 to lead the way. You want to become aware of the 16-year-old, and you learn how to put that prefrontal cortex down and use your left. You put your left foot in your left mode of the brain, the verbal. You put your right foot in, the right mode is whatever comes up. Oh, did I have a reaction or did I respond? Let me think. If I had a reaction, how am I going to learn to pause next time and replace and do something different? Not suppress the emotion. I'm going to use something called myself to explore the emotion. So let's say I'm working through patience or frustration or boredom or sadness or anger, okay? I'm just trying to explain. You work with it. This is called processing. I witness myself, self-reflection, self-awareness. I process the emotion that's coming up. I allow it to come forth. That's called self-love. It's called, I have a secure attachment in my body going on that allows the oxytocin gene hormone to be on. That allows me to see my 0-1-year-old. And therefore, for me not to do attach panicky, but for me to say, hey, 0-1-year-old or 3-7-year-old, what's going on? And that's because I see myself, I soothe myself, I know it's safe to be me, and I'm securely attached. So that's how you fucking self-love yourself, and people don't know how to talk. Like Venuses of Goddesses of May, because they don't love themselves and they don't have the capacity to understand how important it is for a person to take ownership of that 0-1-year-old. And that is a very basic principle that is easy and straightforward. The next steps are for you to keep doing. When people have a fragmented sense of self, that's because they will have not secure attachment. When people have a sense of self that becomes invisible, and that's because they're going to be ambivalent, that means that their right mode picks up on the emotional needs of another, because they began that first year of their life tending, trying to figure out how to tend to those emotional needs so that they could then be taken care of. Okay, and then we have the sense of self that is cut off from their emotions completely. So it's a head without a body. And that one is complete logic. And so we have those three categories of attachment that are not secure. Now, the fragmented sense of self is the disorganized, and with those we have what is also frightened and or terror, neglect, it depends, but I'm going to leave that alone and just explain quite straightforwardly. Those states of self, they can be worked on if the human being who owns the body says, okay, I want to move towards a whole self. What I'm going to keep describing is a person who has the capacity to be their self and be aware of what I just described, and then to work with their thought process and to be conscious, choosing, I'm going to replace whatever reactivity response with something different that I enjoy in life. Okay, so I'm going to learn how to savor. I'm going to learn how to go against what my 0-1-year-old, when it's a not securely attached, I'm going to not self-soothe with reactivity. I'm not going to go do the drugs or drink or go fuck. I'm not going to do the, some people they have cutting, for example. Okay, that's where a person who's self-aware, self-reflective, and looking to become their whole sense of self, meaning love themselves, is going to know what is off, because they're going to intuitively know it, because your body, like mine, the first year of life, it was expecting to be a whole self because it was expecting to have a consistent contingent communicator. So your inner world is always looking to return home to itself. And that's why when people are open to their true self, to be yourself, you're going to be drawn to people like me, not the little Venuses of goddesses of May. Because those people, you're going to know that they're going to give you something, but they're going to give you what is fantasy versus intuition, because it's going to feel comfortable, because it's going to give you an ELSA journey, which is going to give that sweet, sweet blanket of control, which is what your brain wants, the left mode, so that it can feel that it fits something, because the left mode likes to organize and right and wrong in boxes. It's the verbal part, it's the digital. Your right mode is what instead is full of the unknown. That's where you deal with the unknown, actually. So basking in the analogical, I believe is what it's called, which is a rainbow of colors, and that's your flow state, but it's where the unknown and uncertainty lies. So can you sit in darkness in a room and just be happy? I know how to. I'm a divine feminine, and that's why I have the capacity to be also my own divine masculine, but I know the difference of when I'm meeting my divine masculines, which is also why we don't have a saga or a drama with our twin flame or flames or soulmates. The divine feminines, the true ones, will love and not put anyone on pedestals. The only human beings who put anyone on pedestals are the same ones who still talk about twin flame and flames like there's some, you know, set rule book out there. They are using that part of the left mode. I want a group. I want to know where I fit. I'm going to control my environment by making up a story that's going to fit my own story, what I want. So again, fantasy feels comfortable because it fits what you want to fit. And so you're like, ooh, this is fun. I like it. So ELSA journey, okay, nobody gets to the end. It's like, oh, wait, I have a three-year-old. Let me claim that three-year-old. Okay, we're claiming and bringing forth your own wholeness. So what's uncomfortable is not about, I need to have a tower moment. No, none of that. Depends on you. But I'm going to say you have a window welcome for emotions. Good, there you go. If you have, I don't like emotions, well, then you're not going to have that much fun. And we're going to say there's the people called cowardice, lazy, emotionally speaking. They all project their insecurities. And then they go to people that are Venuses of goddesses of May so that they can say, see, you're not supposed to love yourself first. That's a bullshit statement. And they don't know what they're talking about because they didn't get the 0-1-year-old in the forefront. Okay, so let's keep moving with the 0-1-year-old in the forefront. People who have 0-1-year-old in the forefront, we love all of people. So we don't do the hate or dislike or mistrust of humankind. We don't do the hate or dislike or mistrust of man. So we're not misandrinists. We're not misogynists either. We don't do it with women or sexists. Nope. And we don't do misogamists, those who hate, avoid, or oppose marriage. Okay. And so let's begin with some storytelling. And that's where empowerment means you have your inner child out to play. And it means that you can understand that it's a process to get yourself back home to your full 0-1-year-old. So being your own 0-1-year-old is really fun because that's why, for example, we get to be people who love more than one person in a non-conventional friendship way. Here's my polyamory with secure attachment community. So we, the solo poly, is not couple-centric, and we are also people who are into a non-hierarchical set of relationships, and that also involves relationship anarchists, because there is no way in hell that you're going to think of labeling a human being. They have a name, they're unique, there's nobody that can replace them, that's it. And there's not a beginning or an end. We're going to be in a consistent, trusting relationship, meaning expand together as long as we will be wanting to do that. Okay, so when you are a divine feminine, you already know, by the way, we have an episode on that. Yes, we had an episode the other day, so we're going to integrate a little bit of that. But all of the relationships that we have are important to us. They're equally important. They're equally valuable, and we don't have preferences, because it's like asking a mother, even though this is where we use a figure of speech, because the unconditional love of a nurturer, which is the idea of what a mother, not all mothers are that, because if their nervous system is not in a ventral vagal nervous system state, they're not that. If they're angry and unsympathetic, that is not going to be a nurturing mother. That's going to be a frightening mother to another nervous system that's recalibrating according to that one, and they're not going to learn love or safety in their body. No, they're going to be afraid of every single moment. That relationships are dangerous for people who don't have a whole self. Then we have people who have ruptures. They got attachment wounds, and they don't go and get it healed. And so they do things basically based on stereotypes as people do. And that's why they like Venus as a goddess, as a May, because they don't learn how to become their own, you know, person, because, you know, they like a story. People like a story when they have I'm looking for my notes, but I can't find them. When they have the incapacity to say, oh, look, I have emotions, let me tend to them instead of make up some bullshit story. Here it is. Rejection, abandonment, injustice, betrayal, humiliation, shame. So when people have an attachment wound and they don't tend to it, they go around and they have mantles of mental health and mantles of yoga. But the ones who are empowered, we don't have mantles, which is why we know there are no, you know, evil spirits out there. There are human beings, and if they're evil, there's Michael Stone's forensic criminologist scale, and they all need a good therapist. So on that note, again, you will be a person who loves freely, openly, and you build good, honest, and what are transparent communication relationships when you are an empowered woman. So it doesn't matter how old you will have been. If you have the awareness of your thoughts and your emotions, you will not be the 16-year-old maladaptive child. You'll be a grown-up you, which is a functional adult. It's the words that Terry Real uses. So you don't need to be taught how to protect your emotional plane. You are emotional and mental and physical. You're a restorative embodiment. So I know that my entire life, because I didn't have a inner child who was rejected, abandoned, or done the betrayal, injustice, none of that, humiliation. And I can come to you and say how easy it is to be yourself, okay? So for the people who it's challenging, again, they will be able to be self-reflective and notice, oh, wait, my emotion, it has three parts to it. It has a subjective experience, I have a physiological response to it, and a behavior response. I'm not going to pathologize my behavior. I'm going to understand it. And so I'm going to get my 0-1-year-old attached, panicky, and my 3-7 shame, submissive, my freeze of all ages, my flight 11-12, and my fight 14-15-16 in the forefront. Let me see. Let me notice my nervous system. Am I in my sympathetic? Am I in my dorsal vagal? Or am I in my ventral vagal? That's what we get to do. I have to build that masterclass for us so that we can get groups going. Because it's really straightforward for people who have the capacity to be self-reflective. And that's because you have the inner growth mindset and you know that mind is everything because it translates what the body brings up. So the mind keeps the count, like that lovely lady who talks to us about the mind and the brain, and the body keeps the score, like the lovely man who talks to us about the body. They're two different people. Bessel van der Kolk is a score. I don't remember the name of the lady with the mind and the count. But I do know that for me, I can explain to you, it's very easy. For those of us who have an inner child that was not frightened or left and abandoned, to feel gooey, ooey, ooey, and then to continue to have fun. And then that's why we don't have trust issues when we get betrayed, ghosted, or discarded. We laugh. We laugh, I laugh, I laugh. We're going to talk about this. People don't believe us. They think we're hiding some deep scar somewhere. And we let people believe whatever they want because, you know, when you meet Cuscos, Pachas don't lecture. So people don't know what the right silence is because they don't know that we don't have to share our story. Some three-year-olds know how to live. This is spirituality, a meaning, and a life of connection beyond the solo self. So that's just, okay, you know what? I do have a three-year-old story to share, but I think that that three-year-old really wants me to hear what they drew today, and they drew me up. It's not a mirror of me, it's a mirror of them. And then again, I know what they're looking at. So now that I know their subjective experience of me, every time they're interacting, I know how to handle myself so that I can make sure to work with them. If I can't, I will know how to work with their projection, because the minute a love dependent or a love avoidant gets into, you know, their pissy pants, those are the codependent types, the martyrs, superiors, or the blamers, victims. Yes, so Cusco and squirrels. Pachas know about Cuscos and squirrels all over the place. We know about Sid, Manny, Diego, but we're Pachas. Okay, so that's why trust just keeps growing. So, okay, let's get to some storytelling. And you don't have to be polyamory, by the way, but I want to share note that I'm here for our polyamory community so that they can hear what it's like for a securely attached person to be able and share with people as you move through life. Because as a teenager, I was monoamory because I'm in a monogamous world and I was being raised also in what is, you know, Christianity, Catholicism, where they taught you you're going to marry one person. They also taught you about the marriage being blessed, which is very beautiful for a spirituality person. This is where marriage, till death do you part, sickness and in health, right, richer and poorer. These are words that mean something to us, which is why we won't be ditching somebody just because they will have cheated. We also won't insult them and keep it hanging over their head. Okay, so the teenage boyfriend, I didn't say, let me now because you betrayed my... No, you didn't betray shit. In fact, I said, you didn't lose my trust. If you had, I would not be with you. I would dump you. Because the minute that I don't trust you is the minute that I'm going to cut you out because I'm not stupid. That's what a healthy self-worth person knows. So I'm meaning it right now, and I don't mean it in an offense, but I'm not stupid because I don't have childhood trauma. So those who do, they can get a good therapist like Patrick Tiahan, who supports people, and he shares with his community, we're a minority. He also shares how people who have childhood trauma continue to fall for those lovely, no, not lovely, they fall for the relationships that are abusive, they fall for magical wands and fairies and princesses, all the Venuses, goddesses of May, and there you go. Okay, so I have compassion. What I know is people go out there and they don't do therapy. They do lip service to mental health. They just say they are in favor of it because it's like yoga, it's trending, and there you go. So we're not doing the mantles, we're doing the real deal. Okay, so when I meet people, the real deal is I let them know I'm attachment trauma informed if I feel that something is worthy mentioning. And as I was trying to say, I got taught and was raised in the capacity to have what is called healthy self-worth. Thank Maria, my embodied brain right here besides my environment. So I'm going to thank all of my collective, which is involving a person called mother, the fetus, and all of that, and twin. That's my immediate and initial environment. That's where my unfinished business goes, because that's where I was a 0-1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. So that's where I'm going to be dealing. My nervous system gets to be quote-unquote reactive as long as I'm interacting with those nervous systems. And then there's my younger sister. So a household is going to be a dynamic that takes place with those people, which is why they are the very same individuals that a person who will have had childhood trauma needs to be aware of, in a way of saying, okay, I'm going to be dysregulated and I'm going to be dysfunctional potentially when I'm around the very people that I was grown up, because they are going to be a consistent reminder of what I went through, and my nervous system could get into a window tolerance that will be then shot to the roof. So this is where it's very, very important for people who do have childhood trauma, once they become aware of it, and if they're doing a good job with it, with a good therapist, to have those which are called safe haven, secure base, which is people like me. People who are not triggerable, because we don't take things personally, because even if you have a mood, we're going to understand you got a mood. Okay, let's talk about this, because we're not mantles of mental health. So we're not going to say you're a covert narcissist, you're an asshole, I'm not tolerating your shit. We're not going to cancel and block and use all these words at the mantles of mental health people. They don't go to good therapy. They just use words with each other. The ones who do the work, they know that to say to your family, I don't want to have anything to do with you, is not a choice that is light. It is something that you actually don't do until they make it clear that they don't want to work with you, as you work with a good therapist. So it's when you're working with a therapist and you're noticing your window of tolerance, if it's still being triggered, you are the one who has the self-awareness and self-reflection and the good guidance that says, okay, now we're talking. If you feel stressed and you feel like doing this thing that you know is a self-soothing mechanism, we know where it's coming from. Okay, what are we going to do right now? So there's need for safe haven, secure base for people that are on a journey to bring themselves to healing. Consistent contingent communication. And the IHP community is also about that, by the way. It's about having those who really care about people, because it's not a special gift to be an emotionally aware person. It's you got lucky, if we want to use that word, okay? Or you did good therapy and you got here. Like anybody will say that they will be proud to be here. They will be forgiving. They will want to share. You're not broken, people with trauma. We're not broken. We don't need fixing. We are people who have a self, okay? A good, healed inner child will come forth and share with people their story in an empowered way. Not in a, we need a good special star because we did the work. Those are people who are the still number four. They want bystanders. They want a special star for the work they've done. I totally get it. They're not ready to be over here in empowered land. They're still wanting to be supported for what happened to them. The fourth step to recovery of trauma is wanting bystanders to take your side. And that's why the 4D, 3D, and princesses of goddesses of May are there, so that those people can go and feel special for what they're doing. And it's, I'm going to leave it alone, because that's where, when you meet Cuscos, that's what you meet. You just meet Cuscos. The mantles of mental health, they're all Cuscos. And they're going to say, how dare people talk about how you can get out of your panic attacks? Like the comments on Nutshell Ladies video on this person who worked with their panic attack, and you got some lady or someone, gent or they, oh, so you're saying we have to put up with it? Wow, okay. I know you obviously didn't understand the mechanism of your nervous system, and I understand you're frustrated, believe me. But you don't need to make a comment like that, you know. So the part about communities, there's different types. And there's one thing you learn about the common masses, which are people who want to have the ethical cults, culty cult tradition. No, it's not that they want. They're all teenagers. They all have fantasy land. Here's where I learned about the difference between fantasy and intuition. We're going to use it. Okay, so fantasy, the Elsa Journey individuals, they didn't get to the end and figure out that they all have an ego like we do, the three-year-old. So they haven't figured out that, yes, it's torture for you for a little bit to do emotional lifting. No need to project it and do the whole, I hate humans, I hate men, I hate life. Okay, so those are the human suffering love narrative groups for those of us who are human love narrative. We get it. But you know what we also know? There's the people called therapists where you can go and do emotional lifting and work with that. And you don't need to make it out to where the world and any other group except for your group is doing something special. Why are you doing the, we're on a pedestal and superheroes of our superhero journey, and there are others who are supervillains. Why do we have a competition again? Oh, I see. You don't have healthy self-worth. That's what it is. You don't understand that being human is just not some special prize. It's what you are. You're not grounded in reality. I see. You don't like that. Yeah, that's right. So intuition is when you know that it's not a big deal But it is a big deal for some, but it isn't a big deal. When people don't know how they don't like something, and that it's because it's emotionally something that will create a situation inside. Okay, so here's where intuition versus fantasy. So fantasy is comfortable. It gives you the reality you want as a teenager. Elsa Journey, oh, I'm special. I have a star, okay? Intuition, okay, I'm uncomfortable. There are things that I don't know how to do by myself. Makes me go poop. I go poop when I get all excited and stuff like that. My nervous system is having a reaction. I know what's happening. I'm self-reflective. I also have IBS. But what I'm saying, this is a part. It's not some special gift. It's okay. I get emotional when I'm dealing with something I don't know. Okay, let me breathe. This is what intuition with the use of your brain and inner growth. Okay, so we're mixing it all up. I still have so many things that I'm going to be looking not forward to dealing with emotionally speaking. So, and that's not the panic attacks, even though those have been for sure some of the most, it's very different. I can tell you this for a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, that intuitively I already knew that the biggest part of all of that had to do with my energy body expanding, my oversoul, and me accepting to open myself up and be, you know, what this is. With those who don't believe, I get it. But those of you who understand, when we're channels and channelers, I'm a Reiki master, I'm a tarot card reader, I'm an Akashic record reader. As I opened myself up to this plane, I knew that I was opening a lot. And I'm a 4'9" body, so my energy body went through expansion after expansion after expansion. Once the rainbow body came in, then I got two more. And then I came across Sadhguru, which I remember noticing because I also had a visit. And I noticed it because I needed that visit. I needed support to be able and expand more. So these are all intuitive feelings that a mystic, a divine feminine, will not be afraid of. 5D. 4D, they're not included in this moment that I'm sharing with you right now, okay? So, and this was recent years, so we're going to get to some storytelling about betrayals from my teenage years. But the point that I'm trying to get to here is that we can also allocate the freeze response. If I wanted to, I can break down my energy body expansion to what I learned from Peter Levine about the freeze response, because I'm a preemie. I had the umbilical cord wrapped around me. I have scoliosis, which he explains in one of my classes with him, that it's meaning the fetus was threatened already. So I already started moving. My body started moving. So our body stores trauma and then it releases it. And that's why yoga does not bring demons out of you. It actually releases memory. But if it's overwhelming, then that's the part of why self-reflection and awareness with the psych education is important. And that's why all of the good therapists like Daniel Siegel, Peter Levine, Bessel van der Kolk, Janina Fisher, there's Julianne, there's Albert from Somatopia with my teacher Sue Martin, and I know I'm forgetting names of others, but NICABM, Ruth Lanius with Bethany, whatever is her name. There's just so many out there. Patrick Tiahan, he's great for childhood trauma survivors. He's not as in-depth on the information of attachment trauma. But long story short, Peter Levine, Diane Heller with Peter Levine, because I took a course with them, but it's on Diane Heller's website. And that's when I learned about scoliosis and what his hypothesis is. So the part about why people can say, I find it hard to believe, I don't believe in neurobiology, neuroscience, is because we, one, have a lot of different experts out there, and some don't believe in their colleagues. It's like with the vaccine thing, and I don't want to talk about that, but we have people who say, I went to my doctor, so we have subject matter experts that don't agree on things. I am a quantitative and qualitative data person, meaning I have a master's degree and I know what research and academia is about. I am that reason, the pseudoscience lady, because I know I bring human spiritual and spirituality elements. I bring different subject matter experts, but also fields. So it's a consiliency, if you will, to support those who want to tap into that infinite higher human conscious potential experience in addition to being yourself. but it's from a human being who's giving you subjective. That's why it's a mentor, a consultant. The professional figure is one that supports you, not one that gives you the specifics of something that is a how-to. The technical, you get that from the therapist, the official therapist. And I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's because the official good therapist will know who they need to go to, like I do, if I need a good therapist or a good network, because I know I'm going to have the situation that I want to know that I have someone to rely on. Daniel Siegel is who I'm going to go to. Hey, Dan, I need somebody who's a neuroscientist, the expert, something, something in this location, in this city. can you hook me up? Do you have anyone that's somebody knowledgeable within what you're doing? That's because of me knowing what he has done and how he works. And so long story short, a person who discerns is a person who understands this. So when you're coming to any podcast, it's a human being's opinion, my lovely listeners. If they're an official, then you will know it because they'll have it all over the place and you'll know what credentials are if you're an informed human being. If you have done some awareness either on your own or somebody guided you, I got to go to school. That's why I'm aware. It's because I got a master's degree. So I did research and analysis. I know all about statistics, which is why some FBI agent saying, I'm from the FBI, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, bullshit. I don't care what you're saying. You, what? What do you got? You got a degree in what? Oh, sure. Good. You're not the academics. You're not the researchers. I hear qualitative, not even that. I hear subjective opinion. Thank you so much. If I want the analysis, I'm going to go to the peer-reviewed shit. I'm going to know exactly what I'm going to be doing for like the rest of my life is let me go and buy all these books, read them all. And I'm not even an expert in that just yet. Okay. So the point is a lot of people use words out there. They don't really realize what they're doing and we're going to leave them alone. So let's get back to our topic. Like I was saying, the part about the expansion of the body, light body, I can equate it both to our lovely spiritual and spirituality stories, and that's for my 5D mystic community to understand. Come on over, let's enjoy, let's talk about this, but let's also recognize neuroscience, neurobiology, and all of the good attachment trauma experts and the physicists, the quantum physicists. They look into the relational field. They know about they call it the hard problem of consciousness because they're not connected to the infinite sphere the same way. But the 4D is making up fantasy land. So why? Because it fits their spiritual bypassing stories. They are not getting home to their 0-1-year-old. And so this is the difference. We have a community here for those who want to do emotional lifting and or be their grown-up version. Again, support healing trauma. Seriously, I'm a divine feminine with my own divine masculine. And as a divine feminine, we have an episode where I shared with you, you see the inner child of every person, which is why when you meet someone, because you're in the present, I'm in the present because I don't have trauma charges in my brain, because I have a relationship with my emotional and mental field, because I apply the inner growth mindset that I teach you, because I know how to move into neutrality automatically, because I, thank you, Jesus and God and my mother, got taught how to be equanimous, and I'm a secure attachment person who's unflappable. Okay, so now we're going to get to story time. So this teenage boyfriend story, which people shit on because that's how society decides that they want to go and crap on people because they're all teenagers on Cusco's journey. This is what I'm going to share with you. I don't give a shit, but I do give a shit. But I know that there's no point in speaking to ignorant human beings because you're ignoring the fact that you have an emotional response to something that is your subjective experience and idea of what should be or shouldn't be. And that there's different ways for some of us to love and to be. And so even though I was not polyamory at the time, it's because I wasn't offered that equation. Now, most likely, as I know myself, I probably would not have chosen that because I was also being raised in the Catholicism Christian church. And I was learning about what it is to be in marriage. And it is something that means something to those of us who have a relationship not with a facade. It's you feel it in your bones. Okay, so divine feminine, we feel everything. We don't do based on the thinking. It's the feeling first, the thinking comes after, and it's not even thinking. We're okay with the unknowns, uncertainties, and unwanteds because the right mode is dominant and a divine feminine, and we're connected to this thing called grace because we maintain, those of you who maintained your inner child, restorative embodiment, okay? So I'm a whole self, securely attached, got taught healthy self-worth. I know how to talk. I know how to be equanimous. I know that we're all flawed and imperfect. I'm ready to rumble and roll. And, you know, that unconditional love is given because we're all, again, imperfect, but it's because I got raised and was able to maintain a differentiated self. I got raised with every person is different. Nobody's defective. And then my own ability to keep on playing and having fun with life innocently. And it's not because of being gullible, although I did have some aspects of gullibility, but that's only normal because if you're a kid, you're going to be gullible to some things. But you grow up and you learn how to discern and differentiate again and again. And that's why you just learn how to remember what you've learned and not to lose trust. But the part that you can better bet we will note in time. So if I have to tell you about trust and heartbreak and those experiences, what really it is when a person is consistently presented with people who are Cuscos, what you have is a maladaptive child behavior. So you have a person who has low self-esteem, and that's because they have a 0-1-year-old attached panicky that wants to attach. So we got love dependent or love avoidant. And then we got a 3-7 that is shame submissive, okay? But they grow up to the teenager who's spiting the grown-up who didn't give them the sense of safety that they wanted. So they didn't get seen, they didn't get soothed, they didn't get to be safe, they didn't get to feel secure about being all of the inner child that is within them. And so they have a rejection, abandonment, injustice, betrayal, humiliation, or shame wound. Okay, so that's a trust break. So they have a trust break with the grown-ups. And now the teenager, though, spites. The teenager wants to spite the grown-up. And they also choose to, quote-unquote, it's not conscious. Okay, this is that biological rudeness. It's a reactivity from the 0-1-year-old to the 3-7. So they're playing out their negative cycle, which is their karma cycle, which they can notice if they paid attention, self-reflection. Did I react? Was I emotional? What is my left mode thinking? So any person can catch that if they want, which I personally have always been able to say, okay, wait, I'm going to pause. My beyond solo self group member told me something. Let me think. Let me reflect. Is it true or not? So without Terry Real, because again, Terry Real is for people that one, have unfinished business with their partners. Terry Real is great. Two, he also supports you to learn how to protect your emotions and be a healthy, self-worth person. And that's because he teaches you how to do the functional adult love language. And he's really great. I have one of his courses and I plan on getting through all my courses in time. But in the meantime, we get to talk because I have enough information to use to share with you these different data points and then to say how they're easily applied. So as a 16-year-old, applied, 17, 18, you name it, okay? Applied, applied, applied. No trust breaks over here, meaning that, oh, I can't trust men because they will lie and cheat and discard and ghost, and oh my gosh, it's so horrible to be a woman out there. No, no, not even close. What you learn is that those who don't know how to be consistent, they don't know love. That's why what's clear is you don't know how to love because you're not a securely attached human being. You don't have the human love narrative inside your brain, the thinking or the feeling. You have not worked with any inch of your emotional body yet. Or if you have, okay, so let me again go step back. Unsafe. Any person who has emotional triggers is going to be unsafe because the minute you're moody and you're not self-reflective or aware and you don't take ownership of your unresolved trauma, what is yours from your 0-1 to your 3-7 to your teenager, all of those child parts are yours with a good therapist, not me. I'm your partner or I'm a random human being. Friend, doesn't matter who the fuck I am. I'm not your therapist. So that's number one. And this is the something that is very easy for us to note for those of us who are divine feminines because we will know I'm not your nervous system. So I can regulate in my safe haven, secure base. That's why solo poly. We don't look to share our life with a couple-centric environment because we're busy and we know how to self-regulate. in a better way than with a nervous system that doesn't. I'm safer, me, Maria, within myself when I'm with my panic attacks, when I'm alone, because I know how to get myself to ease quicklier than with anyone else. And if I do need to be with people, I know which ones are the right ones. And that's why I actually have no issue whatsoever saying no to outings with certain people. And when people try to make it their business to tell me what to do, I say no, and they don't have to like it. The part about it being something that is not chosen in a specific space of saying, oh, that person is not good for me. This, we don't do that. No, every person does the best they can. And if a person's not working with their nervous system, they can't be of support to you. If they choose human suffering, they're not going to be of any support to any person. There are people who have actively, it's not even funny what I got to know was happening in one of these situations. And I just thought, wow, okay. So anyways, let's move into the topic as we close on out with time. So what I'm trying to say is a person who has low self-esteem is a person who's unsafe, because when they get moody, you got a 16-year-old in the room and you got a Cusco. So as a teenager, I didn't have any trust breaks with my teenage boyfriend or my teenage friends and everything that took place. I learned that people don't like confidence and that they're afraid and that their subjective experiences from other people are what they used as an excuse and societal little stigmas and all those little organized things. So for example, the teenage boyfriend, he had been cheated on with his own girlfriend and his best friend. And in fact, he consistently would tell me, don't trust your best friends, don't trust your best friends. The funny part is that he ended up cheating with my best friend. So, you know, the irony, I don't even know what word to use, because to me, it's more of you don't ever learn. He didn't learn from himself. I didn't have anything to learn, because for me, we consistently communicated. And the aspect of you being a person who doesn't know how to take ownership in a way that is emotionally and mentally mature is not an equation yet, because we were kids. As we got older, that's when it's like, okay, make up your mind. And I gave him the ultimatum at that point. I said, you figure it out. What do you want to do? Because this is getting ridiculous. And that's the one reason I didn't break up in that moment, was this is ridiculous. We just made up 3 days ago. Here we are again. And here I am now having to deal with this again. And then he introduces me to the person who's today his life partner. So he decided to, again, bring in a situation. But I know that he didn't mean it in a way of I have the intent and I'm planning on doing something. That's what my gut tells me, and I trust my gut, not what people will judge based on their idea of assuming. Because see, that's the part of where people assume based on their past experiences, because they don't know how to live the present. The expert of the present is you, the inner adult. And that is you and your prefrontal cortex, which is what I live and I have lived. So at my 19 years of age, I already used my prefrontal cortex to say, okay, you're making a decision. And again, I know for a fact that he meant it when he said, no, she's really nice. She tried hitting on me, but I don't want to be with her. I want to be with you. He was genuine. That later on things took place, that's a whole different story. And this is where his pattern was not done with, because he didn't grow up to take ownership of it in a specific way. And when they went off to become their item, they went through similar things, but they made it through because they were able to continuously stick. He followed her. He did everything he could to keep her. That's what I know about this story, which is why I actually did know that they would stick with it because of what he wanted, which I never gave him, which I'm not going to tell you how to live life. It's your life to live. I'm here to support you to live life the way you want it. If you want to be happy, I know I can support you to be happy. I'm not going to keep you on a leash. And in fact, he wanted somebody to instead give him exactly what to do. And that's a person who is not in the group of empowered human beings, but there's plenty of people that want that. And that's why we have so many relationships that talk about monoamory, one, and monogamy being what they want. They consider a person cheating betrayal. They consider that if you love more than one person, it's not true that you love. Okay, so that's all for people that are in that group. But if you ask an empowered woman when they're going through life, what it is to meet somebody who ghosts or discards, because there's plenty of more stories besides the betrayal. What I can tell you is I understood by the time I was in my 20s that men don't know how to tell you the truth. And so open relationships and polyamory, and then with my twin flames, totally, like, there's no going back from that one, because it's just the most amazing of relationships, plus the soulmates, plus the downloads. And it's not about you attaching to what you were in those past lifetimes. It's that the bond is consistently present. And also to know when consciousness is with us, what this means is that we're expanding together. A divine feminine knows. We know who we're still expanding with. So we know who we're still on a journey actively supporting each other to grow into that next version of ourselves. Because your light body and your energy body essentially is always expanding, like mine is. So my divine masculines support me to continue expanding. I support them to continue their expansion. Doesn't mean we have to have interactions with each other, but we're in each other's energy field. I'm the one who's the divine feminine, which is why I can perceive. They, it depends. I don't know about they, because they are their own people. And that means that they get to share by voice what they want. And if they don't, I'm not in their business. The people who are mystics who want to be in other people's business, meaning that they assume that they know things because of telepathy, because of channel in the way of another human being, it's one thing if I'm channeling for the community, because that's me picking up the collective and channeling for a group of people that will tune in, that will get what they, what is for them to get, right? And resonate with and all that stuff. But when you're picking up on your oversoul, a divine feminine knows that we don't have to do anything. We know that we're picking up on you because we're a channel and we're all part of the same energy, really. Okay, and so if I do want to share with you, I will. I say, I had a dream about you. I got to learn how not to share with people all of that which was being picked up on because of realizing that they did not use that supportive word. No, it's not even that. No, because it wasn't taken well sometimes. Other times there were false accusations. Other times it was time that they wasted because they had no intention of expanding. So that's because they didn't get good therapy. Okay, so the reality is a channeler and a divine feminine will know that we're here to nurture and support each other to expand. So we don't leave somebody hanging and we don't, you know, create any type of animosity. We learn how to distribute. No, we learn how to use our time. Excuse me. Because the part about what distribution, we don't have any finger that we have to lift. And right now I'm trying to find the right words to close us out. Betrayal is not a lack of, it's not a lack of humanity, if you will. It's a lack of love. The person doesn't know how to be their self. So they don't know how their three-year-old is still lying out of fear, their one-year-old, all of that. And that's why ghosting, discard for a person who's empowered, a woman, it'll be like, thank goodness, now I don't have to deal with that because I'm not going to be able to have you reason because you're in a maladaptive child behavior. You're justifying your ego stuff. You're not even noticing it. And it's kind of like when people in their fantasy land, they want to say that you don't need to love yourself first, when instead, yes, you do. If you go to any good therapist, they will tell you if you don't know how to love yourself first, you will not be able to love. But you need to understand what childhood trauma is so that you can get home to yourself. Some of us, we are already home. We never left home, which is why for me, I didn't lose trust in a teenager. No, I knew exactly what I was dealing with again and again and again. And as I got older, I just stopped trying to say you're lying because people are the ones who need to take ownership of their inner world. So if you have pent up energy and you're upset about something or whatever it is, you don't know how to say that you are afraid you're going to lose me. I'm not going to be able to tell you that you're afraid because you're going to say, no, I'm not, which I learned again as a teenager. Furthermore, again, people who grow up to stay within their 16-year-old type persona, they would rather believe fantasy land because intuition makes them uncomfortable. And so they don't take a leap of faith. They don't try to love. The difference here is that divine feminine will never say no to love. We also know that nothing is happening that requires us to be given some little prize. Oh, yeah, there's no like, oh, I should get a star because I pick up on my oversoul and my divine masculines and I'm putting up with them. No, that's not how it works, because you get to consciously choose how to use your brain and how to use your attention. So, for example, one thing I learned in time was how to push to the side all of the people that don't do any emotional lifting. They just want to tell me life sucks, humans suck, and they just want to whine a day after day after day. And that's all I did, because every year you get to do dharma or karma. So when people don't do emotional lifting, they are the cowardice that Patrick Tihan talks about. They don't go to get good therapy. So this is where they're going to go date people again and again who treat them like shit, and that's their business, not ours. So again, discards, ghosting, betrayal to a person whose polyamory means nothing, because polyamory is loving more than one person again, and that means in a secure attachment way. It's not something you're exploring. It's because you've learned how to consistently stay on. Others don't have to. So when you meet somebody who doesn't have healthy self-worth, they don't have compersion. They're going to have envy, jealousy, spite. They're going to lie. They're going to not know how to take a leap of faith, a lot of things. And that's where it's easy to discern. I think, again, the word is, yes, it's going to be easy to discern for me where you're at, because I know that 1, 2, 3. Okay, I got your pattern down. Now we're going to see what you're made of. 4, 5, 6. I got even more of your pattern down. Okay, now we're going to see 8, 9, 10. I'm done, because I'm seeing your wheel and I will know what you're bringing to the table. And then I will also know that our choice points have gone through their full round and that we are done with our expansion. And really what it is I'm going to invest my time with people who love me for who I am and actually want to see me smile and that consistently show up. Okay, so it's not about, oh no, I don't trust men. They don't know how to love. No, there's plenty of men who know how to love. They're going to be the ones who have healthy self-worth. They know they're irreplaceable, meaning that whether you're polyamory or monoamory, they're going to be like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And okay, so what? You have partners. I'm cool with that. I can share. I know how to share. I know that nobody can be me. This is what is badass when you meet a man or a woman that has, or they that has their 0-1-year-old. It's called, I know in my heart, in your body, that I'm defective. No, I'm flawed and perfect, meaning that you're not going to be perfect for anyone. Nobody's ever perfect, meaning that you have moves, you have meaning, you're human. But you know that you're going to take those emotions and those thoughts and not project them. The functional adults is, wow, you know, I had this really amazing day today. So I want to talk about the day. And because people who are healthy self-worth, they know how to use their nervous system in the ventral vagal, they're not whining about it in a way as if there's something happening, because we know that there are people out there who are physically being threatened by the minute. So a healthy self-worth person is an individual who also understands emotional and mental joy, because we choose the path of enlightenment that is love. That is life. That is the essence of love and life. Your infinite higher human conscious potential is this. It's being a restorative embodiment who doesn't get into any of those sagas. You also, though, choose to surround yourself with the same type of content. I want to specify that. So what I mean is, you don't use your time in lower energies, because they're not going to bring anything to the table. When you surround yourself with a vibration that is lower, this is something that definitely keeps you in a specific way and arena. But everyone has different interests. So remember, some people, they are interested in continuing to explore their self through those means. So it's not better or worse. It's just a choice. But what I'm trying to get to is, a healthy self-worth man will not be shy about sharing somebody, because they'll know that nobody can replace them. They'll also know that they have imperfections, but they'll know that they want to consistently show up. The ones who don't, they're not ready, because they don't love themselves first. So they don't know how to be their inner child. And in fact, they will go and finish business with others. But the people who are tuning in here, for you all, if you keep on coming back, we got to talk about 5D relationships. So what it's like for us to one, grow together and, you know, work through different types of emotions, but also chit chat, how it works when you're around love avoidance or love dependence, because at the end of the day, we're going to have so many different types of people. How to just talk about if you're dealing with a person who has borderline or bipolar, or if you have a narcissist, because these are people. They all can be healable with the updated information that I'm learning. They all can be healable, but they need a secure attachment figure. Somebody that shows up, and when they get in their mood and their maladaptive child is able to not be afraid of them, and then is able to say, okay, let's talk, and is able to say, okay, we need good therapy, or we need some contact, we need to do some things because this is showing me that you're suffering. So it's about caring for each other's genuine mental, emotional, physical health, but you need to be securely attached first. That's why loving yourself, and then we can have and hold space for each other. So tune back in whenever you would like. I think we might change up a little bit of how this rolls out. But in the meantime, have a great day and thank you for stopping by.